So, the Mor Nayim in Parshas VeYelech, we have also Nitzavim. We have Nitzavim and VeYelech. So he says, in Parshas Nitzavim, he speaks about the fact that every in the Tzavim he speaks about the evolution of Torah, and he speaks about the fact that before, he says, every human being has within him Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. Because before a person enunciates and verbalizes any word in his mind and his heart, the letters of the Torah are organized inside of him, and the concept is written down in his mind, in his brain, on his heart. It is only after a person's mind organizes the thoughts inside of him that he can then verbalize those thoughts. And the first level is called Kosveim Aluach Libecha. It says in Mishlei, right, chapter 3, Pasuk 3, Kosveim Aluach Libecha, write the Torah on the tablet of your heart. That means that before you speak, organize the Torah words inside of you and write them down, so to speak, on your being. And that is called Torah Shebiksav. Then when a person verbalizes the thoughts that he collected, first you collect your thoughts, and then you direct your thoughts and broadcast them. The collection is called Torah Shebiksav, and the broadcast is Torah Shebal Peh. And when you have these two collectively, then the person becomes a Torah, an integrated Torah personality. He says you have to have both, because if you merely enunciate Torah and teach it without first inscribing it on your heart, then after the shiur is over, he says, many people give a shiur, and then after the shiur they do what they want, and the teacher himself cannot be such a great person. Kishakam yish kam v'dayam shalayim dim ukshakam v'lemudai oise ma sheyetzer hara miyatzo. First thing to learn, and then when learning is over, the Yetzer Hara has complete control over him. How could that be? The answer is because you have to have piv v'libay shavim. The mouth and the heart have to be synchronized, and otherwise, if your mouth and your heart are not synchronized, and you're only enunciating the words in your mouth, and your heart is not clean, then not only is the Torah not cleanse you, but the person who speaks such words of Torah is actually sullying the Torah, and he's metame the Torah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nieh V'Zro. And he says that's the pshat in Parshas Nitzavim. It says in Parshas Nitzavim, Loi b'shamayimi, the loi me'ev l'yami. It says in Nitzavim, Torah is not in heaven, and Torah is not on the other side of the sea. Chazal say, Loi b'shamayim, Torah is not in the person who puts himself in heaven as a big balgaiva, the person that thinks himself as being very lofty and very high. That's Loi b'shamayim. And Loi me'ev l'yami is the person, is not, the Torah is not to be found b'tagorin, in merchants who go the other side of the sea. He's so busy with his business, he has no time to learn. So these are the two examples of people who do not get the Torah. A person who is, so to speak, too high, and the person is too wide. Too high means he's too arrogant. Lo b'shamayim, the Torah is not in those who put themselves up to heaven. And the Torah is not, Meir L'Yam is not the people who go far away and they have no time to concentrate and learn Torah right here. So he explains that what it means is the Torah is taka like a sea. The Torah is like a sea. But it means to say that the Torah has to be inside of you. Lo mevel yami, and no, and not l'shamayim. The Torah has to come from within a person. The Torah can't be out there. When you learn Torah, it's not the pshat that it's something up there or something out there, and we look at the Torah as being something separate from me, and I am the great sea captain. I'm Captain Cook. I circumnavigated the globe. I went to this destination, that destination. The Torah is like a trophy that you earn. Or the Torah is not like a spacecraft that you make a space shuttle walk and everybody's applauding you for doing Atlantis and something up there. The Torah is not something out of this world or the other side of this world, out of me. The Torah is inside me. It is in my heart. It's in my mouth. It is not out there. That is the yisoid of learning Torah. This is essentially what he wants to bring out. And he says, if a person, taka, discovers the Torah that's within him, then that person indeed controls the world. That person will control Shemayim, he'll control the heavens, and that person will control everything on the globe. The more a person makes the Torah the essence of his personality, that's all he thinks about, that's all he wants to think about. Now, as I mentioned many times, let's say we learn an hour a day, let's say we even learn 5 hours a day, but the rest of the day our brain is on chatter mode, and a person with a Torah personality, even when he's not learning mamash in a sefer, he can have his mind on Torah while he's driving a car or while he's on the phone. And it's not so difficult for a person with some discipline, mental discipline. So Gedalia Rapport, he's drilling holes, he's drilling fillings all day. He drills them, fills them, and builds them, you know, and Liana builds them. He drills them and fills them. But he could think Torah the whole time. While he's doing with the fillings, he's thinking about the Abaya, the Rava, Rapapa, Ravina, Ravami. He's not thinking about fillings and about silver and cavities and Novocaine and drills. He's thinking other things. So a person who, even while he's doing the mundane things, has trained his mind that he knows the Torah is inside of him. He doesn't have to turn on a Torah tape for this. Doesn't need CDs. Doesn't need to listen to a shiur. What he learned last night, what he learned a year ago, is still inside of him. So that person, when the Torah is not Mevel Yam, is not B'Shamayim, that person will have tremendous control over the entire world. This is the concept of the Mori Nayim. The next thing, the Mori Nayim, that's the part of the Nitzavim. The part of the Yelech, he has, of course, many Yisaitis, but the one Yisait, I mentioned it a little while ago, in conjunction with the Sefer Torah I wrote recently, but I didn't mention the Shir, I mentioned on Shabbos, and that is here in part of the Yelech. He says that we have here the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says that when Moshe died, there are different opinions what was said at Moshe's Levaya. The Malachi Asharis, the Gemara inside the Daf Yigimel, the Malachi Asharis said, Moshe said, they said about Moshe, Tzitkas Hashem Asa, U'mishpatav Im Yisrael. The Rebbeinu said, Miyakam Liyamareyim. And Samalyim says, they said, Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem, Safra Rabba the Yisrael. The Hezman Moshe was, Moshe died, and he was called Safra Rabba the Yisrael, the great scribe of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean, Moshe is the great scribe of Klal Yisrael? So it means to say, this is the Yisrael of the Mori Nayim, that you should know that every letter of the Torah, Kadosh, is not Pashat. In every letter of the Torah is encapsulated all the letters of the Torah. Kol Torah Kula. Ki kolai svois kolal mikol ha-Torah. And that's why if even one ois is missing from the Torah, the whole Torah is possible. And just like a bad person, if a person has a pain in any part of his body, if his left pinky toe is hurting, his whole body is hurting, and he gets a headache in his head, and his whole body is not feeling good. So you see that the toe is connected with nerves to the entire body, and we understand very easily, pathologically, how the nerve system is totally intertwined one with the other. Great EMT over here, Hatzalah member, knows his knows the human body like the palm of his hand. The nervous system is intertwined. So too, every letter of the Torah contains all the letters of the Torah. And we all know there's 304,805 letters in the Torah. So every letter is the whole Torah. And he says, that's the difference between Stam a person learns, where a person learns every letter of the Torah and appreciates its true power. So the reason why the Gemara says that originally Talmid HaChacham in the days of old were called Seifrim. They were called Seifrim, which usually we say the word Seifrim means a scribe. But really Seifrim means a counter. Not Stam a scribe. A counter means a scribe who knows that every word counts. He doesn't count words, doesn't count letters. He knows the letters count. That's what a safra means, says the Morin Dayim. Safra means the one who understands, who can actually literally identify how this letter is connected with all the other 304,805 letters in the Torah Kedosha. That's a kunz. That's a safra. Not that he counts the letter as it appears. He counts and demonstrates how this letter has all the letters bound up in it. That gives a person a gevaltik chashivas, kol ois bimena, kolo mikula. And a person who holds on to one letter of the Torah, holds on to the ganze Torah. And a person who's mekalko, a person who sins against one letter of the Torah, a person who messes up, corrupts even one letter of the Torah, he has corrupted the entire Torah. And therefore tshuva requires that you appreciate what that means. And that's why the chacham called seifrim, the seifrim, the Isis of a Torah, not just every letter. The counting and intertwined, the interconnectedness of the letters. That's the shot. He says, that's why Moshe was called Safar Rab Yisrael, because nobody really could identify all the letters of the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu. There was nobody who had the awesome ability to mamish see all the letters intertwined as much as Moshe. We can say it. We can believe it. But to mamish see how every letter is intertwined with all 304,000 letters, that's an awesome thing. And he says, that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Ovis, that we know the famous Mishnah in Ovis, Perek Vav Mishnah Tes, that Rabbi Yossi was going with Derech, and he asked him to go live in his city. He met this man. The man says, come and live in our city. And he asked Rabbi Yossi, where do you come from? He said, I come from a city, Malaya Chachamim V'Seifrim. Rabbi Yossi, he said, I came from a city, Malaya Chachamim V'Seifrim. The man says, "Ritzayinchet shetadivim kamenu," and the man says, "Would you want to live in our place?" And Rabbi says, "No, no, no. If you give me all the money in the world, I only live in the Makom Torah." Must have shot the Velt Kasha. If the man has so much money, he can make the place in the Makom Torah. Because it's so rich, and they're going to give Rabbi Yossi millions of dollars. Rabbi Yossi can use the money to build the most fantastic yeshiva and pay Nassim Monk to join Kolo. But you tell him, you make the deal with Nassim. He says, "Nassim, whatever your income is now as a balabas, I'll pay with a clothing man." How do you like that? Just a good job for that offer to join Carlo? You're not buying so fast. What? Any test. No accountability, no responsibility. Hashem gives all the tests. At any rate, so Gedalia would jump at this opportunity. Your present income today, or 2 years ago in Sharon maybe, your best income as a dentist will give you to sit and learn now. That's essentially what this man offered Rabbi Yossi. He says, you got all the money in the world, live in our place, you can hire you in the light, make a kolo. And Rabbi Yossi said, no, I only live in the Makom Torah. Says the Morin Dayim, the reason why he said this was, you can learn Torah there too. The answer is, because he answered the question when the man asked him to identify where you're coming from. He said, I live in the city, Malaya Chachamim, the Seifrim. Not the city of Chachamim, they are Seifrim. The people of my city understand the higher powers of Torah. They don't read the Torah Kipshuto just read the simple letter of the Torah as it appears in the text. They understand that every letter is they count the letters. They know how much every letter counts. And they realize that every letter is connected with 304,805 letters of the Gantz Kol Torah Kula. So therefore, your town, I could never bring it to that Madrega. My city, to come to such a level, took years, decades, centuries, to come to the dry Madrega, that the people are ciphering. That's Nam Chachamim. This is a very Shrei Zach. And therefore, I cannot live in your Mokum, because meaning the place you're at is so much inferior to my place that I just it's a different life, it's a different tire, it's a different existence, and I can't come there. So our good friend Mr. Yecheskel Asher Levy Coleman, he is going to come tonight, but he just came back from his grandmother's Levaya in England, so he didn't have the kayak to stay. But Mr. Coleman once said a gewaltig gevort. He says there's a problem. We know that a mezuzah and tefillin have to be written kisidron. A mezuzah and tefillin you must write exactly in order. If you write even one letter in the mezuzah not in order, or if you finish writing the mezuzah, you found one letter is not okay, you want to erase it and rewrite it, it's possible. You must write the mezuzah exactly kisidron. You must write tefillin exactly kisidron. If there's one letter missing, or even the letter was there and you're rewriting it or whatever, where you wrote a letter first and then you go back to a letter before it, puzzle. Amazing, very difficult halacha. By a sefer Torah, you can do whatever you want. You can write it any way you want. You can start writing dvarim, then go back to brachos. You don't have to have kisidrum. The question is why. So Mr. Coleman said, awesome word, according to the Maranayim. He said, Zivaldik. He says, by a mezuzah and by tefillin. We don't say that every letter includes the whole mezuzah, or every letter includes the whole tefillin. A letter is a letter. And the whole function of a letter in the mezuzah and tefillin is to convey, to be part of a word. And the whole part of a word is to be part of a sentence. And the whole part of the sentence is to be part of a paragraph. And every letter and every word, its significance is only in sequence when it is written properly and gives you a message, and there is a message. If you write it, therefore, not in the order, you're missing the whole point of this letter. The letter only means something when you write it in order, because the order is what, the order of the letters creates a word and creates a message, and that is what it's all about. The chashivas of the letter is not intrinsically every letter has some special value. The letter is only valuable in connection and in sequence that makes a letter and a word. If it's not in order, it's missing its whole point. Mashenka by Sefer Torah. Avada, every letter and word has a significance based on the apparent message, the obvious message that's conveying. But if the law would be that you have to write the letters of the Torah Kisidron, you would think that the value of the letters is only in order when it has a meaning and it conveys a message, which is when it's in order. But it's not true, says the Maranayim. There's another deeper value to every letter of the Torah. That every letter of the Torah stands on its own and has a tremendous importance on its own, not in conjunction with anything else. Not in conjunction by joining together with other letters to make a word and make a message. Every letter contains the whole Torah in it. Every letter is chashuv. So that's why you don't have to write kisidron. Because when not writing in order, you're showing there's more to this letter than the Seder. There's more, much more to this letter than the order and the spelling and the message that is conveyed when it's written in order. That's not its only chashivas. There's a higher chashivas. Every letter is meaningful on its own. So that's why you can write every letter any way you want, not in order. As long, of course, in the end, you have to have the message too. But the message is not the main thing. The message is not the main thing by a Sefer Torah. Every letter is the main thing. So you can write every letter on its own, even without a message. By saying my mezuzah and tefillin, everything is the message. And if it's not written in the message format, in order, it's missing the whole point. Because there the letters themselves have no intrinsic value. It's only that they're put together and they're bonded to make a word and a sentence. That's what he explains. It's Gevalt to Gevort. No? Well, the Torah ain't Muktim Ruch Torah, that's as far as stories is concerned. To show the intrinsic value of every word and every letter. That's another shmuz, because Chazal said the reason why it's not put in order is because it will be in order, we can Mechaya Mason with it. It will be the order of the way that God created the world. Okay, let us turn, my friends, to the Kedushas Levi. And the Kedushas Levi here on Parshas, I'm going to concentrate on the Kedushas Levi on Rosh Hashanah. He has a lot of Torah. Itaki has here on the Tzavim too. Yeah. Yes, of course he has Nitzavim. And why does he have Nitzavim? Azoy. So, a part of Nitzavim, he has a shtickle that actually has to do with Rosh Hashanah, and we have a lot of Rosh Hashanah stuff here too. He says, it says on the pasuk, "Vayisircha adinoy lehecha, b'chol maaseh yadecha, b'fri vidnecha behemtecha, b'fri admascha, l'toiv v'kiyoshev adinoy l'asus alecha l'toiv, kasher sas l'avasecha." So the nekuda that Kedush Levi wants to bring out is that you should know that Hashem rejoices when He gives us bracha. That's what it means over here. That ki yashiv Hashem losas alech l'toiv kasher sas l'avasecha. The Vora Zazoy. He says, when the Rebbeinu Shlom is judging Klai Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah, you should know the Rebbeinu Shlom is really judging himself. Who has more to gain and more to lose Rosh Hashanah? Us or Hashem? Says the Kedushas Levi, Yisai Gadol, that Rosh Hashanah, the main person on the line, is Kaviyachal Hashem Himself, because more than we want to receive from God, God wants to give us, and it's a big shanda to the Rabbeinu Shlom if He can't give us. He brings a mashal. He says, it says in Pirkei Chalos that Hashem is called Melech Oluv. Hashem is called a disgraced king. A terrible title. We say it in the Pai Piyutim versus Shanim Kib, we call him a Melech Evyon. The poor, pauper king. Some say it refers to us, but it can also refer to Hashem. Melech Evyon, Melech Oluv means Hashem Chas Hashem as Busha. He says, a marshal. Imagine a big Chacham comes to ask an Eitzah from somebody, from a wise man, whether you should do something or not. The wise man, the advisor says, don't do it. But the person who came for the advice, the smart man that came for advice, did it anyway. And sure enough, the man who did not follow the advice of the wise advisor got into trouble. And meanwhile, the advisor is embarrassed because the man didn't listen to him. So in other words, if I give you advice and you don't follow my advice, and you fail because of that, say, you take the brunt of the embarrassment, but actually I feel very bad too, because I gave you advice and you listened to me. And the fact that my advice was so good and you didn't listen, Avaraya, you failed because you didn't listen, I really am embarrassed. I'm embarrassed, but of course, more than that, the person who didn't listen is embarrassed. So he says like this: when the Rebbeinu Shlom was about to create man, the Medrash tells us, Hashem said to the Malachim, "Nasa Adam." God said to the angels, "Let's make man." But really, that wasn't a statement. That wasn't a declarative statement. That was a interrogative statement. God saying, Nas Adam, should we make a man? You think it's worthwhile? And we know that the angels answered. What did the angels answer? They said, no. Mo enosh ki siskren. They said, why is man so important? You should think about him. We're more chashuv than men. An angel's better than a man. Why are you making man? And not only that, you're making man in charge of the entire world. Why? So the angel said, no. Hashem, because he had rachmanis on us, did not listen to the angels. And what did he do? He did not listen to his advisors. He gave them advice, he did not listen to them,
And in the end, man got into trouble, and the angels are right. The angels are right. So now, Hashem is called the Melech Olav. Hashem is called the embarrassed king. But the angels advised him, don't make man. And of course he ignored the angels, which is an embarrassment to them. But Feshtetzach, God is more embarrassed than the angels, so to speak. So therefore, Hashem, whenever a human being fails, has a new embarrassment from again and again. Because every time a human being fails, the Malachim say to him, you remember? We told you so. We told you. You're going to make a mistake. Don't create man. He's going to disappoint you. He's going to sin. He's no big stuff. So therefore, the Mishpat of Rosh Hashanah, if the Rabbi Shalom has to punish Klal Yisrael, he's really punishing himself. Because every time God has to be mean to one of us, he's actually admitting that he made a big mistake not listening to the advice of angels. Angels said, don't do it, don't make man. And every time man disappoints God, God's very disappointed because he looks bad. He did not follow the advice of angels. The angels felt bad originally when he didn't listen to them. But now, we told you so. And God is the Melech Olav. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, when God is judging us, if he judges us unfavorably, he's really judging himself. He's getting himself into trouble, so to speak. He's embarrassing himself. So therefore, that's what we say in the davening, it's a pasuk in Tillim, Al Tavo, v'mishpat imano, ki lo yizdag levanecha kol chai. We tell Hashem, don't come to mishpat imano, with us. With us means you and me. Because the Mishpat Hashanah is not just for man, it's for God as well. Because every time we are judged unfavorably, it looks very bad for God. That means God did not listen to good advice. That's why it says, Ki Chok Li Yisrael Hu, it's a Chok Li Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah is a Chok Li Yisrael. But it's also Mishpat Lehayankiv. It's a Mishpat on the God of Yaakov, it's God himself. True, we are being judged Rosh Hashanah. But at the same time, God's being judged. Because if we don't come out favorably, God doesn't come out favorably. So that's why, on Rosh Hashanah, one of the, this is a sanega for us, this is a, another defense for us, that we tell the Rabbi Shalom, be nice to us, so that you will not be embarrassed by the din. Again, he's very original, very, very original. There's so much I push it. I don't know where to start and tell you all the shtiklach here. I can't tell you everything. It's a little bit too much. I'll tell you a few little choice tidbits. He says in the famous Piyut, "Biyein meilitz yoyishem o magid pesha." That's one of the famous little shtiklach. There's so much Torah. There's so many mashalim from the Dubna Magna. When there's no Melech Yosher, when there's no angel to say good things about us, Mul Magid Pesha to defend us from the prosecuting angel, the Kategor, who's only saying bad things about us. Bein Melech Yosher, Mul Magid Pesha, when there's no one to intercede on our behalf, when facing the Magid Pesha, the accusing angel, which only speaks bad about us, what do? We have to throw ourselves on God's mercy. So the Kedush Levi teaches, Be'ein Melech Yosher, meaning, Be'ein Melech Yosher. The only real Melech Yosher for Klal Yisrael is when a person makes himself like Ayin. I am nothing. Be'ein, when I am Ayin, Ayin means, Ich bin garnished. You good at that, Zisha? That's a Melech Yosher for you. So the humble people are really better off than the arrogant ones. Because the arrogant ones have nothing to defend them. Because they think they're something. But if you think you're nothing, that's good. You have a sense of nothingness, that's good. Be'ein Melech Yosher. That's the biggest Melech Yosher. That's the greatest angel of defense for you, that I'm nothing. Because Hashem knows nothing better than people who say that they're nothing. That's the Be'ein Melech Yosher, Mul Magid Pesha.
That is another shtick. I push it. Grab the card and say it over. Okay. Pesha is a sin, big sin, an intentional sin. Okay, it's a very deep word. Okay, I'm going to try. We'll say one last word to you, gentlemen, and I hope I have the koyach, daven for me, and the koyach to give it up to you properly. It's a very deep word. The Moranayim tells us that Rosh Hashanah. I could just add like this. Rosh Hashanah is different than other holidays. Other holidays, we serve Hashem with a dibur, with a statement. Taket is halal, is words. On Pesach, now you have the Haggadah, words. On Sukkot, you have taket halal, is words. But Rosh Hashanah, all you have is Tekiyah Shofar. What is more powerful? A shofar blast or a word? A speaker gets up and says some wonderful words of Osiris or blowing a shofar. What has a bigger impact on the world than a great speech or a great blow? A great big huffpa. Nothing like a shofar blast. Words are not good in a certain way, because a word is a capsule. Every word is, if you enunciate, and even every word, every letter, is an entity that stands on its own. Words for sure like that. There has to be a separation between one word and another. Words are a symptom. Words are a constriction. Words actually, whenever there's a time of Shefa, whenever there's a time that there's a big flow of blessings from Shemayim, if you use words, you are sort of packaging the blessing, and you are thereby choking it, strangling it. You're cutting it to pieces. You're mamish limiting it. But if however you blow a shofar is shefa. A shofar is wide open. You blow it kia to. No end. Then we say there are times when there is attempts to chop it up, shvarm trua, but ultimately what we want from the key is tekiya, and we end up with the tekiya gadaila. The idea being that the real, the blessed blast is a tekiya, which has no words cutting it, nothing is chopping it. Nothing is limiting it. Nothing is restricting it. We ourselves blow Shwarm Chua to show that it could be restricted. We're not doing that. We're ending off with Tkia. And we end up the whole series with Tkia Gedoyla. That brings more blessing into the world than words. And therefore the Kedush Levi says it's very important for Tzadikim, like Abzisha, during the Seres Mechuva, not to think bad thoughts about themselves or other people. Because a bad thought, by definition, is a limitation. You're saying this person is very limited. His honesty is very limited. His beauty is very limited. His integrity is very limited. Every time you say something bad about somebody, even think something bad about somebody, you are cutting him into pieces. And you're cutting the blessing into pieces. When you cut other people into pieces, you cut yourself. That's why Lashon Hara is dangerous. So therefore, he says, during Seres Mechuva, the Shefa for the whole year comes during Seres Mechuva. Seres Mechuva, don't go traveling any place. Stay home. Zog tilma ganzen tog. And think good thoughts. Trach git, zang git. You think good, it'll be good. If you think, if you cut people up, you chop people up, it's not good. During Seres Mechuva, for tzaddik, he says, especially with tzaddikim. Because the idea of Seres Mechuva is to bring Shefa and Bracha into the world. So, he says, that's the pshat. Al-tas tzilosa keva, would rather make it a tachnunim lefnei amokim. He says, don't make your prayers
Sheva. In other words, when you daven, you shouldn't ask for something specific. Don't say, God, if only I had $1,000, Hashem sent me $1,000. Not good. Because what's $1,000 anyway, really? It's not going to solve your problems. So you say, okay, I'll ask God for $10,000. So it's not good. Maybe God wants to give you $1,000,000. And don't ask for $1,000,000. Because maybe God wants to give you $10,000,000. Of course, in the 10 right away, 4 you give to the rabbi. The starters. You want $10,000,000? We have the commitment if you're writing. So you're going to give at least 20%. 20% charity, 20% for the rabbi. We have a few other things to give for. You'll be left with big bucks, Zisha. Don't get nervous. And once you start cutting people out, you can cut off your pranasa. So he says, don't make your tefillah keva. Don't ask God particularly and say, God, let me do good on this deal. Let me pass this test. Let me get through this judge. Because keva means something permanent and something limited, really. A davar kavu is limited to this one place, this one time. Don't do that. When you daven that way, you are cutting off. It's like so new age thinking over here. If you daven keva, you daven with piecemeal davening. You ask for very specific things. Comes out, you waste an opportunity. 3 times a day davening is not, with God saying to you, hello, if you believe you're worthy, I can give you everything. I can give you awesome amounts. I give you abundance. What do you want? So you go, well, you know, I need $50 to shop for today to buy for Shabbos. $50 is what you're asking for? Why don't you ask for $50,000,000? Don't ask $50, ask for prosperity. Ask for abundance. What do you ask for every day, Mr. Monk? A number? Or you ask for generic prosperity?
Generic.
Only way to go. It's the famous Medrash. The guy was once walking the road, he got very tired. So he asked God, he said, God, please send me a donkey. No sooner does the words go out of his mouth, than a Roman soldier comes passing by, and he's on a horse, and he's leading a donkey. And he tells this Jew boy, pick up the donkey and put it on your shoulders and carry it to the city for me. So he got his donkey. But now the donkey's carrying him, he's carrying the donkey. So the man said, this you see, don't ask, be careful, be very clear what you're asking for. Because he asked for a donkey, God, please send me a donkey. You mean that, let me carry the donkey. Instead of pinning the tail on the donkey, they pin the donkey onto your tail. So you got a problem. So it says the Heilige Kedushas Levi, don't ask for davar keva. Don't limit, don't petrify your tefillas. Shviv tachnunu, just say, Hashem have rechmas on me, Hashem have mercy on me, Hashem be generous to me, have a good eye on me. That's what he asks for in general. He says, that's why on Rosh Hashanah it would be good for a person not to ask for something specific. Not on Rosh Hashanah, you don't want to get the whole thing in one shot. On Rosh Hashanah, he says, okay, let's put it this way. There's a contradiction in Chazal. One Chazal says that Mitznais of Shaladam are Ksuv Rosh Hashanah. One Chazal says a person's money and his prosperity for this year is decided Rosh Hashanah. The other Chazal says, Adam Nidu B'chol Yom, man is judged every single day. So, he says, it's not a problem. Because on Rosh Hashanah, it's decided how much you're going to get for the entire year. And then the decision every single day, how much of the $1,000,000 that was made up from Mechoyol, Kovugi, this Rosh Hashanah, how are you going to get that $1,000,000? Are you going to get it in one shot? Are you going to get it in 2 installments? 10 installments? Weekly installments? Monthly installments? How do you get it? So he says that it's better to get it every day. Because the Gemara says in Yuma, how come the mon came down every day? Why didn't it come down once every year? Why make the poor people go every day? Let it come down once a year, put it into cold storage, and you have it the whole year. We have to schlep out every single day. What? As the Gemara is like a king who gave his son an allowance. But he told his son, you have to come to me every single day to pick up your allowance. Why did he tell his son, okay, I'm putting it in your bank account, I'm going to wire into your bank account your whole year's income? That's what King Elizabeth does. Sends Prince Philip his whole income in one shot. Why does this kid have to go to his father every single day the Teres as far as I know you. If I give it to you once a year, you only visit me once a year. But I love you. I want to see you every single day. So come every day to get your allowance. You're not going to get big money. Get little monies, a dribble at a time. Because the king loves you, his son, and wants to see him every day. That's the words of Yuma. So that's why God didn't send down the man once a year or once a month for a monthly supply. Every single day to go out and get it. He says, that's why, he says, everybody, you're asking to win the lottery, Zisha. That's what you want. You want to win the $40 million lottery. Make a big mistake. Because if you got the $40 million lottery, you know what that means? You don't need God anymore. You're not going to talk to God anymore. What do you need it for? You have $40 million. $40 million can solve all your problems. So therefore, God doesn't give it to you in one shot. The truth is that God, that comes out, loves the poor more than the rich. So you got the money. You have enough to live on. You have enough to bank live on for a month. Probably for 2 months. Do you need God, especially desperate tomorrow? No. Do you need God tomorrow? You don't need God so desperately tomorrow. But the poor schnorrer, if he's really a schnorrer, he has to go around collecting every single day. Every day, he's not coming to people, he's coming to God. So God says, I love this guy, I want to hear from him every day. The rich fat cat, I'm not interested in him. So the fat cats, can go ahead and get his money once a year. His need God, I'll see him in Rosh Hashanah. I don't want to see him in Rosh Hashanah. He's an arrogant good for nothing. I don't want to offer this guy. Let him stay home. And I'm so sick of him. You know what I'm going to do? I'll make him rich. He doesn't have to come to shul every day and daven, a long davening. Because he's so rich, he doesn't make a difference. He'll hire the rabbi to daven for him, maybe. He'll hire Zisha Kass to daven for him. But if he comes to shul, it's not with real feeling. But daven, the ones Hashem loves, Hashem doles it out day by day, piece by piece. That he doesn't say it directly, I'm telling you, that's a shot. That is what the Ani gains from the whole thing. The Ani, who has to go around every single day collecting and snoring, he has one mila. He needs God every day of his life. And what it really means is God says, I love you. I want to see you every day. I want you to dive real good every day that you're going to collect good today. That's why I'm not giving you everything in advance. It's the sign of love. A father wants to see his son every day. Hashem wants to see the poor man every day. So he says that on Rosh Hashanah, he says, this is the difference. The difference between giving a lump sum in one shot or giving it out piecemeal day by day is the difference between the koil shayfer and the dibur. A koil has no words to it. The koil is not broken into pieces. A koil shofar, an uninterrupted shofar blast, represents the whole thing. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, he says the tekiah represents the big blessing coming abundantly without any limitations of Rosh Hashanah. And now the shvarim trua represents that God gives it out piecemeal, bit by bit. But that's a sign of love. Don't want to win the lottery for 40 million one shot. That means God doesn't care about you. If you have to struggle every single day, that means God says, oh, I want to hear from you every day. I love you. I want to hear from you. If I gave you the 40 million in the bank, I wouldn't hear from you for 25 years till the chayes start running out. So that's why God gives you a little bit of the time. And that chilek is the difference between koil and dibur. Koil is the whole big shefa, and dibur is giving it piece by piece. So the point is, so there's two nakudas over here. Number one, the fact that a person lives hand to mouth doesn't mean God doesn't love him. Just the opposite. It's a much amazing word. I never put together that Gemara. It's a sign God loves the person. Number two, God taka judges us for Rosh Hashanah. For Rosh Hashanah, we're judged on the level of Koil Shaifer. Koil Shaifer is unlimited. And God judges every day to decide how much He's going to portion us for this particular day. But the Chesed Hashem, that God judges once a year as Hashanah in an unlimited fashion, because that way we get our bracha. One day, we get the whole lump sum. And it's unlimited, it's in great abundance. If every single day God be judging us, He just gives us a little bit of the time. But that's okay too. But that, in the Chanami, represents the idea that God wants to hear from me a lot, and God doesn't want me to abandon Him, and I should be around for Him. Those are some of the samples, gentlemen, for the religious lady. There's a lot more to talk about. We'll talk about Mishnah next Wednesday night as well, with our last year before Rosh Hashanah. And there's a lot more here in the Jewish Daily. I'll review this next week, actually. He expands on this with a tiff of art, but I don't know if the Kayach, I don't think you have the Kayach to hear it right now. It's a little bit too much.